Sunshine Meets on Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8.
A very good evening and welcome along to Sunshine Meets on Sunshine 106.8. I'm Andrea Hayes and I'm so thrilled to welcome my guest tonight. She is an award-winning, recognised Irish interior designer. She's also an authentic Chinese feng shui expert. Sunshine Meets the incredible Nina Katie. Nina, it's so lovely to have you in our Sunshine studio.
Thank you for having me, Andrea.
We're going to start, Nina, as we always do, at the beginning. Can you tell our Sunshine listeners a little bit about you, where you're from, where you grew up, and your childhood?
Okay, yeah, thank you very much for having me. Well, let's see now. Well, I'm half Indian and half Irish. My father and mother met actually in Dublin, believe it or not. He was studying at the Royal College of Surgeons and she was working in a commercial sector. And they married, they eloped, and they moved across to East Africa. And I was actually born over there and I have a twin brother. So we were raised there for the first 4 years of our lives. And then we came back to Ireland for a short time and I went to school here when I was little. And then from there, we popped across to London, lived there for a couple of years and then moved over to Canada. And my father set up his practice there and his father joined him, actually. They were in practice together in East Africa, so they came over as well. So our grandparents were there as well. And after a few years, we left there, came back to Ireland again and then went back to England. And then I moved to Australia for 3.5 years. And when I came back from Australia, I stopped in London for a year, learned all about feng shui, realised that design was definitely what I wanted to do, and moved over to Ireland and set up my design practice then.
What a whirlwind. I think we've got a little bit of your life in a bite-sized chunk. Let me bring you back, because as a child, all that travel and being exposed to such incredible, diverse communities and cultures, that must have had a profound effect on you.
It absolutely did. You're so right. I think I feel that today, this has been the case perhaps all my life, but I have a very international outlook. And for me, it's incredibly important to, I suppose, appreciate all types of different art and culture and history and archaeology and architecture and, you know, so on and so forth. So, you know, foods from different countries. I just love the fact that today we do invite everything from everywhere, don't we? And we're so much more interested, I think, in all other countries. And of course, it's so much easier now to get around. Of course, in those days, that wasn't really the case. So we were literally moving countries. We weren't just sort of going over to America for a year or trying out Australia for a year. It was really, really quite different. It was giving up your life and moving. So that has made me very adaptable and flexible as a human being. I think now I can fit into any situation, mixed with people from all kinds of backgrounds. And that's why I suppose it really helps me in my business today. Yeah.
And in terms of your parents, you mentioned that you're a twin. You very unique in itself. Was there pressure from your parents to go into an academic field, because both of them are quite academic? So tell me how your parents influenced you then as a younger kind of Nina growing up, and how you decided then eventually to kind of go into design, or was there a journey to that point?
There was a bit, actually. I tried out different careers first. I have to say, it's you can be a little spoiled sometimes when you are that adaptable and flexible. And I did have quite a few gifts. I was very blessed in that way. But it's what you focus on and what you really develop, isn't it, that really matters. And otherwise you'll be a jack of all trades and master of none. But they both knew that I was better off actually to move towards something to do with travel or languages or art, rather than my twin, who is very good, in fact, at science. I mean, he would have been great in that field, whereas I was totally the opposite. I would have been better off in art. So it took me a long circuitous route before I realized that that was definitely the way I was going to go. I did try. I was a computer programmer, would you believe, for a while, I'm embarrassed to say, but that really wasn't for me. It just wasn't, there was no interaction with other people. There was no real creativity. It was just basically logic. But that, I must say, has stood me in very good stead. So I do think you need to be a designer. You need a whole repertoire of different skills. And so I've been lucky in that sense. I've developed different skill sets. And, you know, I can say now that it has stood me in good stead, especially in business. Yeah.
And feng shui is such a unique kind of Chinese old tradition that we probably don't know an awful lot about. But tell us a little bit about how you, as an interior designer, then journeyed into feng shui, and just kind of bring us through that journey and who your mentors were.
Yeah, I mean, from a fairly young age, actually, when I was working, I did decide along the way that everybody I met, I was going to treat them like a mentor, and I was going to learn something from them, and I was going to use stepping stones, if you like, to get to where I knew I would end up. So, you know, it was a very much a learning experience. And along the way, I realized that I was very interested in the spirit, the human spirit, not just, you know, the material things around us. It was more than that. And I was very interested in nature as well. So I wanted to combine everything. And I really wanted to kind of optimize my situation as well in design. And of course, being creative, I think you do tend to think laterally, don't you? You look around you and you have various influences around you. But whether or not you take notice is the important thing. And I began to realize that I really wanted to know more about the basis for everything, which is really energy. And then when I came back from London, from Australia, I realized there were a few courses happening, and I looked into things, various things, and I thought I need to enhance where I'm going to be going to in terms of design. And so I looked around and I found some courses on feng shui and thought, this sounds really interesting. And so I did all the courses, and I realized from doing those courses that actually this is far deeper, far greater, a much, much bigger subject. And it wasn't really, it was the more marketed version, if you like. It wasn't really the authentic version. And then by chance, I bumped into a Chinese feng shui master. And so from there, I said to him, is it possible to study under you? And he interviewed me. And after a few questions, and maybe 20 minutes later, he said, okay, I'll let you study under me for 2 years. So that's how I got to learn about feng shui. And it was so opportune. It's all about timing in life, isn't it? It so happens that at the very moment that I was beginning my business in interior design, I began studying under him as well. So it truly influenced the way that I went forward in terms of design.
Just to explain the very basics of feng shui for anybody perhaps has heard of it but is not sure what it is, and how we can manifest great change by really harnessing the principles and using them in our own lives.
Absolutely. Well, gosh, feng shui is such a huge subject, but the basics are that you take the energies of a person and you match them to the energies of the building that they live or work in. So from that, you know, there's layers upon layers of data that you have to put together, including finding out the feng shui of the human being first, and then feng shui of the property next. So, you know, you need to know the date of construction of the property or when that person moved into that place. And that's really the basic story behind what feng shui is. So if you match the energies of a person to the building that they live or work in, it means that you're aligning the people to live more harmoniously within the environment that they're in. And so it can make up to 70% improvement in somebody's lives. You know, so I think that's the really important crux of it, is that you're trying to improve a person's health first, because your health is your wealth, as you know. Relationships next, which is all really about support and benevolence and kindness with one another. Because, of course, we're all completely interrelated in every way, and everything we do has that ripple effect. So action and consequence, cause and effect. And then last of all is are the finances, or if I can put it this way, perhaps fortunate blessings. You know, so it's not always about money. It's actually more about opportunities. It's about everything that comes to us from around us and through other people as well.
And you remember the first time, Nina, that you were training under your expert, you were kind of gathering all of the information, you applied the techniques and tools, and then you saw the results. That must have been a really exciting moment for you. If you bring us back to that time, do you remember anything that happened and you went, wow, this works?
Yes, I suppose the first realization was when you first go to the property and you don't even have to know the people. You meet complete strangers. You've never been to this house before or to that particular location, and you can diagnose all that's wrong in the household and with those people's lives, and you can fix it so easily and so quickly. And I suppose watching that process happening, learning it as I went along, and realizing that if you know about the taboos and what not to do, that it makes life an awful lot easier. So yeah, I saw profound effects, and people in improving from anywhere from 20%, as I said, to up to 70%. And it's all about, you know, the fact is how they know themselves. As soon as you diagnose what's wrong and they are in agreement, they know straight away that you must be able to then provide a solution as well.
Which is so exciting. We're going to talk all about that. But it is time for Nina Katie's first song. And it's actually an ABBA song, and it's quite apt as well. Tell us why you've chosen this particular ABBA song for your first Sunshine Meets song.
Yeah, well, actually, it's interesting because this song is money, money, money. And of course, you can term that any way you want. But it's been studied and it's been found to be a song that was constructed very, very intelligently. It's actually classed as being as good as a song that Beethoven or Tchaikovsky would have put together. So there you are. Very, very apt and very interesting melody indeed. Very catchy too.
Sunshine Meets on Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8.
You're very welcome back to Sunshine Meets. I'm Andrea Hayes, and my guest tonight is an award-winning, nationally recognised interior designer. She's been on TV, on RT's Room to Improve, many, many radio stations. She's also an authentic feng shui expert. Tonight, Sunshine Meets Nina Katie. I hope I pronounced feng shui correctly.
You have, actually, Andrea. Well done.
I'm being a little bit paranoid now. I mentioned there your TV work, and you worked on that very really nice program Room to Improve, and
yes,
it was a huge success. And I suppose for many of us that was the first time, certainly I had heard about feng shui and saw it on a mainstream media and really see it put to work. Tell us about your work on TV and that particular experience for you, because that must have been great.
That was fantastic, yeah. What a wonderful family to work with, a doctor and his physiotherapist wife. They really didn't want to go forward unless they had the advice of a feng shui expert. And as it happens, Coco Television contacted me and said that we feel you're the right fit and that you're really good at what you do. So I went down to meet them and had a look at the property, and of course took Dermot Bannon through the stages of what needed to be done and, you know, the reasons behind it and so on and so forth. And even now he'll meet me and give me a huge hug and say, Nina, you know, you can't unhear what you said.
And talk us through a little bit, Nina, what advice you gave. And I suppose for Dermot that must have been quite, usually he's in control.
Yeah. Well, it was very interesting because the client was absolutely determined they were going to follow this procedure. In fact, the doctor actually uses acupuncture in his clinic as well. So he's very used to, you know, all these, I suppose, practices when it comes to energy and energy alignment. So he knew the basics and the basis of it. So that was fine. And but Dermot, of course, would be completely different. And he had quite a closed mind about it, but he really had to, you know, I suppose he just had to give way because the fact is that it made sense. And he said to me since, you know, Nina, he said, I can't do that for clients anymore. He said, I really can't. He said, when I go into the house, I know it's wrong to do it, so I now don't do it. So that's so interesting,
isn't
it?
What was he doing?
He was actually placing, we'll say, kitchens and bathrooms next to one another, or putting sinks and hobs into island units in kitchens. And he was placing the sink opposite the hob, for instance. You know, all of those things you can't do. That's where you put energy in conflict. And then, of course, set up the household for problems later. And, of course, once people have seen a program like that, they too are aware.
People want to know about decluttering. A lot of people's houses are full of clutter, and people are asking how feng shui can help them clear out and stop the accumulation of stuff. What advice would you give to listeners if they're just getting started?
Well, I suppose the first thing I would do is pretend that you're a very critical visitor coming to the house. Start with the front door and, you know, wander through as if you've never been to that house before, and be entirely honest with yourself, because I think we all live in denial, there's no doubt. Be entirely honest with yourself, make a note, you know, as you're going through the entire house, and snag the whole place. Say, what's wrong with it? What needs repairing? Because there's mind clutter in that. Our headspace fills up very quickly, you know, thinking, oh, we have to paint this room, we need to fix that, the hinges are creaking, you know, the window does need cleaning. All of those things should be done. And the thing is, they nag at us and they nag at us constantly. So, you know, first and foremost, make a list of the repairs and all the things that need fixing. Make a list of all the jobs that need to get done. Deal with paperwork. At least put it to one side and know that you're going to deal with it in a short space of time so it doesn't build up and cause you stress. And then tackle things like, for instance, in kitchen cupboards, we have an awful lot of foodstuffs that go out of date that desperately need to be taken away from the kitchen area so we can have, you know, proper proper storage for the stuff that we're actually in need of storing. And the other thing is, when you're walking through the house, I suppose the fact is you can assess what a person or a family are like just by looking at the interior of the house. Like when I rock up, the first thing I will know is what food the people are eating, because you can smell that at the front door. I will know if there's a leak in the house, because you can smell again that rancid smell. If there's mold growth in the house, you know just by the again, you know, the smell of mold growth is there, isn't it? So all of those things, we tend to get so used to it that the smell of dog or cat, you get so used to it that you don't realise as you step up to the front door of your own home that that's something you've just become used to. You now accept it. So go in literally with, you know, the five senses on full alert, and see how can you create a much more open, airy, spacious environment with clear work surfaces, more storage available for you. We don't need as much. We have far too much. We're always buying. We're always bringing stuff home. There's no need. We only need a limited amount of stuff. You know, what we want and what we need are two different things. Yeah.
So if we're making a start then, do we get the plastic bags at the ready to throw things out? Is there a process that you would say? What advice would you give if somebody's saying, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to finally declutter. Do you take a room at a time? You know, if people are just, even the thoughts of it, Nina, and they're exhausted.
I know. And you know, we all have to work with what we have. And you have to do this when you're feeling healthy and happy, not when you're miserable and sick and slowly doing it and feeling worse for it, because there's no point. You really do have to go in with a positive mindset, knowing that you're going to end up with a much better situation afterwards. So work with what you have. You know, like I said, I'm very good at keeping lists and keeping things organized, because of course I'm known as the makeover queen. So I go into places and I'm not entirely ruthless. I don't declutter to the point where a person's identity has been thrown in the bin. I do look at everything and I see, well, what doesn't work? What is just not fixable anymore? What is worn out? What is no longer used and no longer wanted? Think of charity shops and the good that you can do. Think of recycling, and the fact is that we need to be looking after Mother Nature and minding the planet too in the process. But have, you know, a list of things that need to get done. So keep that list on the go. A list of things that, you know, I suppose really just need to be bought. There's no doubt that you still need a shopping list for certain things. And then, of course, have your, you know, these fantastic crystal file type plastic boxes and so on. They can be fantastic for just organizing what you're moving from one space to another. I do tend to look at photos as well and review them, because I do think we get a little tired of looking at pictures that are a little bit out of date now, and perhaps the youngsters don't want to be seeing themselves, you know, in that guise as a youngster below the age of 10 when they're now teenagers. They'd probably rather see, you know, photos that are a bit more contemporary. So take a look at things like that as well, because all of these things, they remind us of happy times, and they shouldn't be saying to us, we need to be changed. We're you know, we no longer want to look back on those years when we had no teeth at the front and we had braces on, or, you know, or the day you got married is wonderful, but it doesn't necessarily have to be on display in the public area. Now, you know, in your older years, you don't look quite as good as you did on your wedding day. So remember that you have to kind of come in and look at things very, very differently. It's all about lifting your own energies. It's about decluttering your mind just as much as it is about decluttering the house. And it's about living within, you know, within your means, of course, but also living with a bit of space too, because that way you invite new opportunity into your lives too.
So how do you invite new opportunities? If we're going to go maybe room to room, is there any simple things that we can do? Like, I didn't know in the kitchen not to have the hob or in the island. Yes. So maybe talk us through some of the common mistakes that you see when you go into people's
homes. Absolutely. Thanks. I will indeed. Well, one of the things I see is, you know, a lot of Western feng shui books tell you to put the mirror on the wall opposite the front door. Never do that, because you're bouncing all the opportunities straight back out the door. But it is practical to have a mirror in a hallway, because you need to check yourself before you leave the house. And it's rather nice to be able to do that at the front door, last minute check before you leave the house. So have a mirror on a sidewall. In the sitting room, you know, I think it's always important to remember what the power seat is. And that is the seat that you can get a good view of the door from, and the view out the window, and perhaps of the fireplace too. Not the easiest thing to decide, of course. So you just have to find the corner in the room that feels most comfortable, and one where you do not have your back to the door. Same situation in an office, of course. You certainly don't want to put the desk up against a wall behind which there's a toilet, or everything in that business will go down the toilet. And all that you do will be completely wrong, because, of course, you're facing the toilet while you're making decisions. So try and ensure that you don't have your back to the door again, and that the desk is not up against the toilet wall. And the same with the bedroom. Mm-hmm. Don't hang anything over the headboard of the bed whatsoever. Otherwise, you won't sleep properly because your brain will constantly wake you up and tell you, you know, you're going to be having a picture land on your head in mm-hmm. the night. So wake up quick, you know, the picture might fall down. So make sure, again, mirrors are not in bedrooms. They sap all the energy from the room. And because we're fully awake when we're fast asleep, our brain is monitoring what's going on around us. So as soon as we turn over in the bed, we see the reflection in the mirror, and that then the brain will wake us up and say, there's somebody else in the room as well, you're going to be attacked. So, you know, things, simple things, very, very simple things. Keep the lid down on the toilet when you flush, and keep the door to bathrooms closed at all times. And in the kitchen, unfortunately, skylights don't work in a kitchen. It only serves to pull the fire energy up through the house and create more intense, sudden arguments where a lot is said in a short space of time and a lot of hurt is created. So try not to put skylights in kitchens.
It's so overwhelming as you say it. I'm going through every room in my house, yes. as I'm sure all the listeners are, thinking, wow, that's good, that's good. So we're going to delve more into that. If you've just tuned in, it's Sunshine Meets. I'm thrilled to have an award-winning interior designer, but also an authentic Chinese feng shui expert, Nina Katie, with us in studio. Nina, we're going to choose your second song, and it's a Robbie Williams song. Tell us why you've chosen this one.
Oh, I love this song because it's all about angels, and I do think that today we do tend to look around us and think, where's the support, you know? And there's no doubt everyone has their own angel. Everyone has a halo. Everyone has an aura. And even though the halo might slip from time to time, we still need to make sure that we keep it there in situ, don't we? So enjoy this song.
I sit away. There's an angel.
Sunshine Meets on Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8.
You're very welcome back to Sunshine Meets on Sunshine 106.8. I'm Andrea Hayes, and my guest tonight is an award-winning, internationally recognised Irish interior designer. She's also an authentic feng shui expert. She's been on TV, radio, as we've heard, and we're absolutely thrilled to have her in studio. Sunshine Meets Nina Katie. Now, Nina, we're going to talk about colours, because colours hold a very special meaning in many parts, and maybe we're thinking about adding a splash of colour to our house. What advice would you have on colour?
Yeah, sure. I think it's an important subject because, of course, colour affects mood, and, you know, it really does decide when you first walk in your front door. In many ways, it's the colours that we acknowledge first, isn't it? And it really decides how we're going to feel for the day and how we're going to feel about the space that we're in. So I think, for me, I always tend to choose very relaxing, peaceful, calm colours, and then I put pops of colour into an interior. And I'm known for using a lot of blue, and I think it's because it has a very calming effect. But you can use warm tones of blue, and, you know, blue can also, and the same goes for all colours, it can determine the style of the room. You could choose a kind of a minty shade of blue, and that could give a more vintage effect. You could choose more of a sort of a watery shade of blue, and that will give you a more of a nautical effect. So I think that, you know, colour determines style. It also helps to relax us and determine the mood in the room. And I think it really helps us to define spaces as well. So if you have a feature wall that you want to make more of, I think it's nice to use colour in that way too.
And is there any unlucky colours in feng shui? Is there anything, yes, that we should avoid?
Yes, I always say to people, if you have a master bedroom, don't use peach. It's too much fire in the bedroom for a married couple. So they will look outside of the relationship. So choose peach.
What about red?
Yeah. Red can be a little bit too intense because, don't forget, the bedroom is all about relaxation, rejuvenation. We're rebuilding our cells in the body. It needs to be really a very calm, sort of private sanctuary.
So colours are good for the bedroom?
Very calm sort of colours, you know, pale pinks, pale blue. If you're single, of course, a rose pink is very good on the wall for women because it will help them to attract a mate, because it brings romance into your life. If you're going to choose red, then you're all out for passion.
So then what about blacks and things like that?
Yeah, I use, you know, black. If you look at most magazine photos, any professionally taken photos, you know, dark colours have to be introduced in order to make the photograph, I suppose, to give it more definition and a bit more depth. So I do think that small, you know, splashy of dark colours really work very, very well. But I do say never use black on the ceiling. I know a lot of teenagers sometimes ask for that colour. That means that they want to live in a very oppressed state and they will become very depressed. So never paint a ceiling black. And remember that very, sharp black and white kind of stripes or very dark and light coloured stripes or spots can actually confuse the brain and cause us to argue with one another. So not so good.
So we are talking about the bedroom. Let's have a look at sleep, because that is the holy grail for many of us. And maybe we want to have better sleep in 2018, and that's our kind of new year, new goal. What advice would you have to kind of get that good night's sleep?
Sure. Well, of course, like I said, never hang anything over the headboard of a bed, and always have a headboard on a bed. I mean, that's what brings support into your life. So if you feel a little unsupported at the moment, go out in the sales, even if you can't afford it before Christmas, and take a look at headboards, especially an upholstered one, and either hang it on the wall if it's a large one, and I prefer a large headboard where possible. If you look at any of the schemes that I do, and particularly the RT Showhouse program that I was on back in 2005 and 6, I actually introduced very large headboards at that time, and they've become extremely popular since. But the larger the headboard, the more popular you will be, the more support you will get. It's just very helpful for the relationship you have in your life, and the relationship you might have as parents with children as well, and with your boss and colleagues at work. So it makes a very big difference to one's life.
So yeah. Colour of headboard, does that matter? So again, we're looking at the blacks or the reds or the peaches or the blues. Like, does it matter what colour you have?
I think the main thing is to choose something that's very easy on the eye, because you're going to have to live with it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And of course, it will be the feature in the bedroom. Normally, I would treat the headboard wall as the feature wall and make the most of the headboard and, of course, the surrounds. So I would put pictures and lamps to one side of the bed so that way it doesn't disturb the sleep. I'd have no mirrors, of course, in the bedroom, as I said earlier. I would put them inside wardrobe doors. And I tend to make sure that whatever goes in the way of storage under a bed is mainly bed linens and perhaps excess clothing, but never paperwork, books, that sort of thing. And I always say to people as well, try and keep TVs well away, electrical points, you know, anything that's like a mobile phone, keep it away from the headboard of the bed, because you don't want to introduce too much radiation into the area around the headboard of the bed. So if you have things like metal or crystals, they will only serve to amplify anything in the way of radiation or electromagnetic stress in the room. So don't have them in bedrooms. No crystals, no mirrors, no wind chimes, no water, no plants, no flowers in bedrooms.
We could be sleeping in another room now, because I know a lot of people have those sort of wraparound mirrored built-in closets.
They do.
And there's a lot of things that people might have that financially they just can't change quite at the moment.
Well, there's a cure for it. Okay. You can always wallpaper those doors very successfully. And that's a lovely way to actually make them look even better quality. You don't need to make a space look too busy or too. In fact, it confuses the brain to walk in and see a whole wall of mirrored wardrobes. It doesn't actually really work. But also another very easy thing to do is put up like a curtain rail all the way across, like a proper little plastic track or a metal track, all the way across in front of the wardrobes, and hang some voiles in front that are perhaps nice and lightweight, but introduce, they temper the mirrored effect, the reflective effect of the mirrored wardrobes. Yeah.
And I know that you really are very much about gratitude, giving back thanks, and that's something you'd like to talk about. How can we bring a little bit more gratitude into our life, our home, and just our relationships?
Yeah, I think it's one of the most important things you can do. And I really do believe very strongly that we should all give out love, thanks, and send blessings to everybody every day. And I don't want to sound too airy-fairy, but that is really, really important, because we're all fully interrelated and interconnected, as I said before. So we have to be sure, I suppose, of raising our own vibration as much as we can. The more you do that, the more you optimize your luck and of course, you know, your prosperity in the long term. So the more thanks we give, the better our lives will be. So write a thank you journal every single day. Write down what it is you're so grateful for, even if it's just last thing at night or first thing in the morning when you first wake up, whatever is the better time of the day for you, depending on the way you function. And I always say to people, for a family harmony, to put what they're grateful for on a piece of paper, roll it up and place it in what I call the abundance bowl in the middle of the family dining table. And then on special occasions, maybe it's somebody's birthday or it's Christmas, everybody should unravel that little bit of paper and read out what it is that that person had said they were grateful for that day, and acknowledge that that's why we are more happy, because we are more grateful for what we have.
And I think recognising the little things like that just brings more abundance.
It certainly does.
Into your
it
life.
It absolutely does, yes.
So what tips would you have so people spend their money wisely? Because, you know, there's a worry that now if they're rushing out to get a headboard, to get a big headboard or a bed or, you know, maybe a new couch or tables and chairs, sort of little tips that you might have. have before sure. they spend some money, or yeah, the things that
absolutely.
You normally do.
Great. Well, yes, I would strongly recommend that you only spend what you can afford. Don't feel so guilty or find that you move home and you cannot get rid of that piece. You spent a fortune for it. And so you're stuck with it forevermore. And every scheme will always have to be, centered around that very expensive piece. So I suppose in a way we have to be practical. And again, think about the lifestyle you have. If you live a very formal life and you have a lot of entertaining to do, then that's the type of lifestyle that you need to be aiming your furniture towards. Whereas if you are mainly about family and informal living, buy lots of low furniture. Don't buy tall items, because that's what makes the scheme look much more formal. Also, allow traffic flow. We need space to get around furniture. There's no point in banging off the furniture mm-hmm. everywhere we go, because it's not an obstacle course. Home is meant to be home, and it shouldn't be done to show house standard either, because then you'll be under serious pressure to keep it that way. So, home is where the heart is. It's the mansion of the soul. It's where we should get the most pleasure from. There's no point in over furnishing a space or choosing something that's far too big for a space. So just check your measurements thoroughly. Take a little drawing, a sketch, just a very simple one of the measurements of the room with you, and come and see people like me. I'm I'm 20 years in the business. I'm very happy to advise people, and I will tell them straight, this is not the piece for you. You need something entirely different for the type of room that you have. Or, I'll guide people towards maybe, increasing the number of seats that they need to have in the space, because after all, there's no point in buying enough seating for four when you have a family of six and having to bring in temporary seating every time guests come along when you have guests on a regular basis. So think about the lifestyle, the family's needs, guest entertainment, visitors who come to stay overnight as well. That's a different situation once again. And of course, now we're looking at outdoor living as much as indoor living. We're looking at entertaining outdoors and maybe having a seamless integrated indoor and outdoor environment where we can invite the elements of nature in. Sometimes I say to people, it's lovely to have things like an indoor atrium to bring nature into the home. So it's not just about the indoors anymore. I think we want to have much more about nature around us as well, don't we now?
And it's so nice, because if we start doing a little bit of decluttering and maybe have as you said, walk around the house like a discerning guest. But there one little tip you'll leave us with that is a very kind of a feng shui thing to do that might be very simple and can change the energy, like bringing a plant in, or as you said, moving a mirror? Or is there something that you always say to every client, please just do this now, and it's kind of worked?
I do. And actually, one of the most powerful self-empowering forms that I can really give you right now is, it's so simple. Just say a daily mantra. And I can give you that daily mantra if you'd like. And I think that's so powerful because it's so easy. You don't have to spend money for it. You don't have to spend a great deal of time on it. But just make sure that you create a pattern in your life, a habit of saying it every morning and every night. First thing in the morning when you wake up, out loud if possible, and last thing at night before you go to sleep, again, out loud if possible. Even better if you can stand in front of a mirror and say it to your own reflection, because you're speaking to your own soul. And you can transform your life again by up to 70% just by saying a daily, positive daily mantra. And the one that I normally give to people is to say, this is the here and now. I live an extraordinary life and I'm here to shine. And every day in every way, I'm getting better and better. And so it is.
So this is the here and now.
Yes. I live an extraordinary life.
I live an extraordinary life.
And I am here to shine.
And I am here to shine.
And every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better.
Every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better.
And so it is.
And so it is. Well, so it was. Sunshine has just met award-winning feng shui expert and interior designer Nina Katie. But for now, it's your last song. And I know you're a big fan of the late, great Amy Winehouse. Tell us why you've chosen this one.
Oh, this is one of my favourites. There's no doubt you'd get up and you'd want to dance to this song anyway. But it really is beautifully done. I think it really kind of cemented her place, didn't it? So, well
enjoy
done,
it. This is wrapping it up with Nina and Valerie.